So I guess we're doing this then. Hi, I'm Tom and welcome to the show. This is the brand new podcast and talk show, whatever you want to call it, where I get to talk all things movies and pop culture with an incredible guest from that industry, or, well, any real industry. It's incredible that my very first guest is actually going to be none other than Isabel Seeb. You may know her work from things such as Nautilus on Prime Video or Hostage on Netflix. Generally, Hostage is one of my favourite shows right now. I cannot over-exaggerate how much I loved that show. Just every single performance. The genre of political thriller is just so far up my street, it's unbelievable. The second I saw it announced, I knew I was going to be gripped. And when I saw it, the first message I sent after I finished the series was to Isabella, asking her for this very conversation. And believe me, I genuinely think it's one of my favourite interviews I've ever done. We actually briefly met previously at an event for Nautilus, which was incredible to be at, thanks to Prime Video. But it was absolutely incredible to be able to speak to her in a detail about her work on this show. But before I get into that interview, I just want to talk a little bit about what I've been up to this week. This week, I attended the gala performance of Back to the Future, the musical, to welcome their two new cast members, or, well, actually, their entirely new cast, which was absolutely incredible. And Brian Connolly was absolutely incredible as Doc Brown, and Maddie was obviously incredible as Lorraine Baines. I genuinely cannot wait to see even more of them on the show. Maybe I'll go and see the show again. Maybe we'll do something else with the show. I don't know, but I genuinely think everybody should go and check out this show on the West End right now. I also just want to talk a little bit about what this show's about. This show is just a space where I can talk every single fortnight about different topics in film, TV, movies, pop culture, politics, everything like that. It's pretty much the combination of everything I've spoken about and done over on social media over the last 5 years, all into one show every other week. And I genuinely cannot wait for you guys to see some of the guests that I've got coming up, which are absolutely incredible. Industry titans and UK TV legends are all planned to be on this show at some point. So I genuinely cannot wait for you guys to see that. But without further ado, welcome Isabel to the show. Oh, and PS, make sure you like, comment and do all that subscribe stuff and rate me 100% or whatever it is on whatever app you're using. I genuinely really appreciate it. Please. With Nautilus and Hostage, you've worked on two very different projects very close together.
Yeah.
One being obviously fantasy adventure and one being a political thriller. What's it like trying to transition from one to the other?
Oh, that's a great question. It was interesting actually, because Nautilus, I literally finished like the day before I had my second interview for Hostage. And then I started on Hostage a week after. So it was like a very, very quick transition. I think in a way, like I quite like when my projects are quite different and alternate, like in tone especially. Because the lovely thing with Nautilus was that it was obviously very dramatic and it had like heavy underlying subject matters, but also there was a lot of humor in it. And there were a lot of like lighter scenes and it was for a family audience. And then Hostage, obviously, is quite different. It's very dark in places and it's very, you know, tense and gripping. But that's kind of part of what excited me about doing that, because I had just done something lighter. And before Nautilus, I did The Devil's Hour and Vigil, which were both like quite heavy. So I was really excited to do something a bit lighter. So in a way, I feel like that the fact that they were quite different really fueled me in going into Hostage. Yeah, does that answer the question?
Yeah, of course. No, and like you say, like Hostage is quite a dark show in some places. How were you able to keep the set sort of more light instead of going down those rabbit holes?
I feel like that's something I kind of do quite intentionally. And if you ask any actors or crew who've worked with me, I try really hard to keep the set light no matter what I do, because I think the working hours can be really intense and we spend so much time together and it's such like long days. I always try to, yeah, bring in maybe a little song and dance and a little bit of silliness just to get people, you know, relaxed and happy. And I think it's important to remind ourselves that we all chose this industry because we wanted to do something we love. And I think sometimes like the challenges and the stress of it can be so overwhelming that you forget. And so I see it as part of my responsibility to like remind people we're here to play. But at the same time, like on a show like Hostage, I also really need to make sure I find the balance. So I respect especially the actors when they have to be in that dark place mentally and emotionally to
exactly.
their performances. So I would never, you know, in a scene where somebody gets executed on screen, like I won't be running around making jokes about it. So it's finding the balance and making sure that I think also it's about making sure people feel valued, and especially with the crew, like the cast obviously too, but I think especially with the crew, because they sometimes get overlooked, it's important to kind of just like make them feel appreciated and say thank you.
Of course, of course. And but before you went into TV, you actually made a lot of short films as well, especially in South Africa and other places like that. What's it like transitioning from short films to TV?
Interestingly, I felt like the biggest difference was just kind of the physical elements of it. Because obviously, short films, you film for 1, 2, 3, 4 days, five, if you're really lucky and you have a lot of money to make your short film. But TV is just the, you just have a much longer shooting period, a filming period. And I remember even my very first TV show, that was only a 6-week shoot, which for me now, I'm like, oh, that's so easy. But at the time, that was just something I'd never done before. And I remember that was just the biggest thing I felt, that at the end of that first week of filming, I was so physically exhausted. I felt like, I don't know how I can keep going. But then you just kind of, you just get into the rhythm. And I think you accept that from like day three onwards, you're going to be tired until the end, and that's okay. So I think you get into a rhythm, and it's really, and I remember lots of other directors who have been doing TV told me the same thing, like you have to take care of yourself physically and mentally. And
Course.
that was a huge thing for me as well, because on short films I was very much, I would prepare really, really well and then just destroy myself during the shoot, and just for 4 or 5 days, just completely put everything out there and then recover afterwards. But when you make TV, and like with Nautilus, I had 75 filming days. That was a long one.
Jeez, crikey.
Yeah,
It's a quarter of a year.
it was over the course of the year. So you can't do that. You need to take care of yourself, and you need to recover, and you need to allow yourself a rest day. Like every weekend, I always make sure I one of the days on the weekend I prepare for the next week, and the other day I rest and I do nothing.
Course.
And that was quite hard for me in the beginning, because I felt like, what if I'm not doing enough? Like I have to use every free minute to prepare and do my best work. But it's the longevity of it that I think is the biggest difference going into TV.
Of course, like, and obviously you've done quite a few projects by now, like you've done a couple of TV shows, short films. What is it that initially made you want to go into film and TV and as a director?
It's an interesting one, because I was definitely not one of those people who like knew from an early age that they wanted to be a director. I think partly, and I don't think that was a conscious thing, but I'd never seen a female director growing up. I just never had. And so I think subconsciously it wasn't something that I just knew was something that was an option for me. And so I actually studied screenwriting, but I realized fairly quickly into my degree that I didn't love it. And that, like, I was okay at it, but I wasn't great. And in my final year at university, we had to do two things. We had to write a feature screenplay, and we had to make a 5-minute short film. And I put all of my energy and effort into the 5-minute short film. And that just kind of showed me, okay, no, this is really what I love. And I remember being on set and just, I think, A, how naturally it came to me, and B, how much I enjoyed it. And I think, and I say this when people ask me about this always, like, I feel so lucky to have found something that comes naturally to me and that I really enjoy. And I think, like, how lucky is that? Because that's the best way to, do your work and do your job. So I feel like that was, I remember clearly when we made that short film that it just felt like that was what I was meant to do. And I was in my mid-20s at that point, so it definitely didn't happen to me as a kid.
No, not everybody is that lucky, are they? To know exactly what they wanted to do from straight up out the goal. I was the same. Yes.
But I think also there's something quite nice about having some time to discover that too. I think,
Exactly.
when super young and that's all you ever do, like, I'm quite grateful that I had a relatively normal like childhood and upbringing. I got to just, be a kid.
Exactly. When filming Hostage, obviously a lot can go wrong on set, especially with a show with so many big action sequences or big scenes. What's something that went wrong, and how did you overcome that sort of thing?
I think, you know what, the most challenging part of the shoot was probably when we were in the Canary Islands at the end of it. And
Oh,
that's where we
crikey.
filmed all of the French Guiana storyline. And it was just logistically challenging because we were in such remote locations. It was on an island called La Palma, which is beautiful. But you know, the nature of the story was that Alex and his doctor colleagues were in like really remote villages and forests and jungle, like very, very hard to reach. So we had to find locations that reflected that, and that meant that the logistics were very difficult, and it would usually be like one small road that would lead to that location. And then the question, like, okay, where do you put unit base? Where, how do we get the gear there? How do we get, you know, the actors there? How do we get me there? How do we get everybody there? So that was just, it just took time. And then sometimes, you know, an action vehicle wouldn't work or would end up like in the ditch, or it was logistical things, or like a really essential prop had gone missing. So I think it was just the remoteness of it all made it logistically really challenging. And then the fact that all of the material we were filming there was incredibly heavy, because it was the
Yes.
abduction, it was, you know, it was the execution, it was the rescue in there. It was all really, really heavy, emotional. But also, you know, as you said, we also had the big car chase and the shootout and like fight scenes. So all of it was really, really heavy and challenging, paired up with the fact that it was all logistically really difficult to put together. So that was hard. So there were days where we'd end up having to wait for something for 2 hours because a car wasn't working or something had gone missing, or it was all technical things meeting the pressure of what we had to get done and deliver in the 3 weeks that we had there. But there's something about, to me, often these kind of pressures, not that I would enjoy working under that pressure always, but when you do have those moments, there's something about it that just puts you in a rhythm of moving forward.
Yes.
Because you can't stop, and you can't, like, when you lose time on a day that's already challenging, you just have to race. And there's something about staying in that rhythm for the cast, the crew, and me that just, it just makes it feel propulsive, and it makes you feel like, okay, we're just gonna run through this together. And I feel like that energy can often create really exciting pieces of work, I think. And I think also for the actors, it was quite helpful not having as much downtime there, because it just meant that they could stay in that kind of adrenaline-fueled mindset and keep their body in that space too. I feel like in a way, those challenges gave those scenes the energy that they needed, because it really was that tense and there was that much adrenaline.
Yeah, no, that sounds yeah incredible. See, if a car breaks down, you've got to figure out what you can do to, you know, save that time so you're not just sitting around.
Totally. Or if you can't do anything in that time, then you still have to make it work with the time that you're left. So it's
Exactly.
kind of like, okay, what do I really need, and how can we get it done?
Exactly. I've noticed that after you've shared quite a few behind the scenes photos of this show onto your Instagram and other socials, I've noticed that you actually built a sort of real life Downing Street. Obviously, we can't film in the real Downing Street, but
No.
what was the decision about building a replica of Downing Street rather than using a big green screen or something like that?
I think all of us really believe that anything that can be done in camera should be done in camera, because I just think, and I, you know, on Nautilus we had so much VFX and they did the most incredible job, but I do think that you can still, even if you can't always see that it's not real, I think the audience can feel it. And for something
Yeah.
as essential as our Downing Street set, it just had to look real. And also, I think, again, like, for the actors, and we had quite a few supporting artists on that day too. We had the press and we had the crowd, you know, see, actually being there, it just really changes people's feeling and performance and energy. So that was really it. And I think, you know, our production designer, Abel Jones, he just did the most amazing job. This was basically, we were at Bovingdon on basically just a tarmac road, and he built all of it. Which is incredible. So we were on this like road in the middle of nowhere, and suddenly we have Downing Street and, you know, the opposite building, surrounding building, standing there. And there was green screen extension. Obviously,
Of
we
course.
built London behind it. That had to be green screen. But I think for me, like, the more you can do in camera, the more real it feels and the more real the VFX feel when you add them to it.
Exactly. What is there any sort of scenes that people might watch and think, oh, that's CGI, that's VFX, when it actually wasn't? Is there anything that we'd be surprised by?
I'm not sure. I feel like there wasn't that much VFX that we did beyond that, because we really were in London. We filmed on location. So I don't think there I think for Nautilus, definitely. For Hostage, I don't think so, actually. I don't think so.
Obviously, with Nautilus, you've got to film the final episodes. With Hostage, you filmed the beginning. What's the difference between setting up a story or wrapping it all up?
I think the main difference is that when you set up the story, you're on board a lot earlier on, and you really get to be part of a lot of the like key creative decisions, which is just so fun and really exciting. And that's mainly casting. So, Saran was obviously, she was already attached to play Dalton when I joined, but everybody else we cast together. And then it's about, finding the right location. Like we filmed in this old mansion house in King's Langley called Langleybury House. And that was something that, we discovered together. And then it was on me to figure out, okay, which rooms can we use and how do we connect them? And all of those decisions that were really crucial to the look and style of the show. It was just really, really exciting to be a part of that. I think when you close a show, there's what's really exciting about that is that usually in the episodes you get to do the big kind of climactic moments, and that's really fun to do too. You do the showdown, you do the big emotional pieces, you tie it all up, and that's really, really fun to do too. But obviously at that point the style of the show has been set, the cast is already there naturally, so it's just a different way of working.
You said earlier about how when you were growing up, you didn't really see many female directors, so you didn't really think that was a thing that you could do. What advice would you give to other young people today, now that there is a lot more female directors like Greta Gerwig, yourself? What advice would you give them to break into the industry?
I would say don't feel like you have to have it all figured out. Something that I really notice, especially speaking to young female directors when they ask me for advice, is they feel like they need to know the name of every single lens and every single light and need to know absolutely everything in order to be a director, and you simply don't. And that's something that I thankfully discovered, because I don't know the name of every single lens and every light. I think what's important is that you know what story you want to tell, and that you have strong instincts about how you want the audience to feel, and that you can communicate that. I think that's really what it's all about. And the rest of it is surrounding yourself with a really great team that you can trust and who are very good at they do. I mean, with Nautilus, I'd never done any kind of that level of VFX before. I knew very little about it, but I did know what stories I wanted to tell and what shots I wanted to do. And then I got teamed up with the most amazing team who helped me realize that. And effectively, that's what you will be doing always. And I try to make sure that every new project I take on, there's something about it that's new to me, and there's something new for me to learn. Now knowing that I don't need to know everything when I step into something. So that's really the piece of advice I would give. Like, believe that knowing what story you want to tell is enough to get started, and the rest you will learn along the way.
One final question before I let you go. What is a film or TV show or anything like that that you would normally recommend to anybody? Like, what's something that you absolutely love? Favorite film of all time?
Oh my God. I do think like probably like my all-time favorite is the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, crikey.
That was not, like when that came out and I was still a kid, like I was just so in awe of it. And now I watch it back as a director, and I'm so in awe of how it was directed and how it was put together, because it's one of those rare trilogies where you really feel like there's so much love and attention to detail in every single shot.
Yeah,
That's something
definitely is.
you really appreciate now, where you feel like, okay, no, every single shot is just so lovingly crafted and put together. So that's something I loved as a kid, and I really, really appreciate even more so now. And I also think, like, I just recently watched it like a few months ago again at the IMAX in London, and I felt like it still really holds up.
Yeah,
Even
films like
though
that.
the VFX are from like 25 years ago, and you still kind of look at it and go like, no, it's still good. And that's incredible,
I do obviously quickly want to ask, what is next for you? Obviously, Hostage was a huge success, number two on Netflix, Nautilus, huge success. What's the next project you've got coming up?
In terms of what I'll be filming next, I don't know yet, to be honest, but there are quite a few things I've been developing myself, which is really exciting, because I feel like I love jumping on a project when it's greenlit and it's ready to go. But I also, in the long term, I want to make more things that I'm involved in from the start. So hopefully Saran and I will be developing something together. We're having some conversations about
Oh.
some ideas. And then also there's some feature films I've been developing. There are other TV projects with companies I really love. So that's kind of been my summer. I've had some time to actually go back to like my own ideas, which I've really loved.
That's great to hear. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me.
Thank you, Tom. It's
Yeah,
lovely to
thank
see you.
you.